Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Joining us today, we have Justin Nelson, the founder and CEO of Sphere Rocket VA, an industry-leading virtual workforce company. Since 2020, Sphere Rocket has placed more than 5,000 virtual assistants, serving 1,500-plus growing small businesses. And Mr. Nelson, thanks for joining us here today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome. Looking forward to hearing all the details from you here today. So tell me, for starters, how have you created leverage in your life and business? Looking at balance personally, if you don't mind, to get things underway here today.
Yeah, so I'll keep it super simple. You know, obviously, you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, a small business owner, there's so many things in life that pull us, right? Our family, our attention, our kids, our business, our employees, you know, everybody's in a different place. And, you know, for me, you know, it sounds kind of counterintuitive to what I do now, but honestly, the first place that I really started to experience leverage is when I realized, okay, you know, my business is the thing that has a high potential for, you know, unlimited revenue to a degree. A lot of us got into entrepreneurship because we wanted the freedom and the ability to have, you know, a higher than normal revenue and income. And so, you know, for me personally, I started to look at leverage as just simple things like, can someone do my meal prep with me, you know, for me? So when I'm home, I'm not, you know, trying to talk to my family while I'm cutting carrots for the week, right? Or, hey, can someone, you know, mow my lawn? You know, am I capable of mowing my lawn? Sure, but maybe now when I get off work, I don't have to come home and be like, oh my gosh, I haven't mowed my lawn in 2 weeks and have to go do that instead of spending time with kids, you know, the wife and things like that. So, you know, to be honest with you, Eric, some of the first things, you know, that I at least put into leverage had nothing to do, you know, with virtual assistants. You know, that kind of came later on, you know, as the business started to grow. But the business started to grow because, you know, I had attention, right? You know, I had more attention to give my family, more attention to be at work, you know, and didn't have to worry about, you know, all these little small things that may have eaten up time.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on the personal day-to-day. That is a big help, and I'm sure you've brought attention to the listening audience here today on that for sure, as it applies to anyone in any industry. Now, tell me, when should a business owner expand their team, and how do they do it with high profitability? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, obviously growing up, you know, I wanted to be, you know, a mechanical engineer. I wanted to go make 60, 70, 80, 90 grand. And when I got out of college and started a business, I was like, all right, all businesses are going to be able to afford people at 60, 70. And I started my own small business. At the time, I was a real estate agent and I was making really good money at the time. My first year, I made like 150 grand net. But Eric, I couldn't fathom spending 50, 60, even 40 grand of my 150 on, like, you know, on an executive admin, on an assistant, on a transaction coordinator. And so that's actually kind of how I tripped into the virtual assistant world. Is one of my business mentors at the time for the space I was in said, hey, for the real estate agent space, you know, 10% of your revenue, it should be spent on help, right? Leverage some type of assistant. And I was like, man, I'm making 150, but 10% is 15 grand. Like, what are the options? And, you know, that mentor said, hey, you know, a virtual assistant, you know, should cost you between 7 to 10 grand a year for full-time work. And, you know, at that time I was young, I had limiting beliefs, you know, I had limiting beliefs like, how does someone live on 10 grand a year? You know, is that ethical? Like, how does this work? Like, can they speak English, right? Is there a high level of education? All these limiting beliefs that I later found out to not be true. And so whenever, you know, I'm approaching business owners now, you know, everybody's in a different industry, right? So for real estate agents, it was 10%. For online marketing agencies, you know, for example, would be 30%. So even though we serve in our company now, pretty much any industry that's a business owner, everybody's got their different margins. But for us, you know, we found that, you know, for businesses that are in the smaller range and can't even afford their first employee assistant, if that work can be done virtual, the VA is a great option, you know, in the virtual assistant world to, you know, kind of bridge that gap, right? To have that employee you need while still growing the revenue to the point where you can hire, you know, for us, a US-based salary. A lot of times people think virtual assistants are just outsourcing. It's like taking a job, whacking it, and then replacing it with cheaper labor. Where what we found is like roughly 80% of our 3,500 plus hires over the last few years have been not outsourcing. They've been roughly helping business owners scale to that next level to be able to afford you know, that next, you know, in-person assistant or in-person employee. And so for us, it's all about knowing your numbers, but if the job can be done virtually, you know, a lot of times it can just be, that's where I'd kick off, right? Bridging gaps with virtual assistants until the revenue catches up.
Really some great insight and information there. Really do appreciate that. That is a big help for sure. Now, also a question for you. What are the best management and hiring practices? I'm sure listeners would appreciate hearing from you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So hiring practices are really, really easy. Obviously, the company I own, I would say we're just a fancy recruitment company that just happens to specialize in VAs. And so if anybody listening here is like, what's the number? Like, if I had to give one thing, the one thing that I would give on hiring, and this goes for really any hiring, but especially if you're hiring a virtual assistant, is the volume of applications. You know, a lot of times people will hire, you know, they'll go online, they'll try and hire a VA themselves. They'll put up a job posting and they'll get 7 resumes and they're so excited. It's their first hire. And then they'll, you know, maybe they'll look at 2 of the 7 and be like, ah, their resumes weren't really good. There's errors in them. Now you're down to 5 people. Now you interview all 5, you love 3, you go through a second and a third round. You've now invested probably 5, 10, 15, 20 hours of your time into this process and you pick one. Where when you kind of take a step back, you know, and you look at the entire size of the world being billions and billions and billions of people, you just settled for, you know, a list of 7 people that randomly picked your job ad. And you, and in your mind, they're great talent, but they probably aren't the best of the talent that you could have gotten for your dollar. And so one of the best tips we give is, you know, you should interview, or you should have at least 100 to 150 applications per job posting that you post. You know, and that's US-based, international-based, VA-based, in-person-based. We really like to see that 100 to 150. We find that the success rate almost doubles in terms of retention, tenure, when you're able to sift through that many options versus just for what you get. As far as management goes, and I know I'm kind of long-winded here, as far as management goes of a virtual assistant, the best number one trick I can say is to not make them feel virtual. So while all of my VAs are located in the Philippines right now, obviously we're not on camera, this is audio only, but if you could see me, there is actually, I have a flat screen in my office and my whole team is on that flat screen. There's a Zoom call right now. They're actually watching me on this podcast right now and they're listening, right? They're a part of my office environment. So if I jumped off this podcast and I said, hey, I want to send Eric a quick little thank you note in the mail and attach a brownie to it, my team is on the computer. They're going to hear that and then they're going to go put that into action, right? If I say, hey, Eric's a future contact, I need to add into my CRM. My CRM director who's on that TV is going to, you know, go and take care of that for me. So the best management practice I can say is try and make it feel like they are real time, have access to you, feel a part of your company and not just, you know, a task doer on the other side of an email. Because I could email them and be like, hey, can you do this, this, and this? But by me seeing their body language, smile, right, you know, and getting to know them, their families, it's the best management practice I can, you know, give as far as the virtual workforce goes.
Hey, thanks for the explanation. That is a big help. And also, it is pretty cool that you have your VAs tuning in today right now as we're speaking. We're speaking with Mr. Justin Nelson, the founder and CEO of Sphere Rocket VA, an industry-leading virtual workforce company. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, some may ask, and you can tell us, what task can a VA actually perform?
Yeah, so obviously a lot of times, you know, I'm going to give a very cliche answer here. The answer is a VA can do anything that doesn't require in-person attention, right? So like I've had electrical engineer corporations come to me and be like, I need someone that can review electrical engineer plans, but we want to do it at a reduced cost. I've recruited electrical engineers. I've recruited people that have, you know, built massive skyscrapers in the construction space. Now, when we look at the typical small business that comes to us, you know, we place a lot in, you know, the marketing, the social media. We always find that people want to not do the things that are painful or not do the things that they don't like to do. So especially on some of the older generations, we get, you know, the marketing, help me with my social media, help me with my TikTok, my Twitter, you know, some of those things where they want to be able to be found and make it look pretty, but they don't want to, you know, have that. Obviously, administrative tasks, right, are a huge thing. Executive assistants, personal assistants. We do a lot in the space of like like lead generation, right? Customer support. A great example of this is like plumbing companies, electrician, you know, electrical companies, things like that, where I know how many times I've called a plumbing company. And they're like, all right, we'll give you a call back sometime, schedule, you know, no call back, right? That's just money being burned. And so we put a lot of VAs in those type of customer support roles to help those smaller businesses that might not have an admin or might have one admin that's so overloaded that they let things slip through the cracks. So, you know, the answer is really anything, but really, you know, a lot of the core positions are those.
Yeah, thanks for that. And that is also a big help for sure. Thanks for the feedback. Now, also, how have you built a strong company culture when everyone works remote? Get into that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So it honestly really comes down to the flat screen, right? And that sounds really crazy. Now, for me personally, I have so many team members in the Philippines. I have 90 of them. I do take it as a priority to go and see them. So I save the monthly money I need to go to over there. I put on an event in person with a lot of times people would never even fathom going to visit their people. That for me is huge, right? So now if that's unattainable to you, maybe, you know, because you don't have the time, you can't leave your business, you know, that flat screen's big for me every single day. You know, whenever I'm starting a meeting, right, you know, I have every single day from 8 to 8:30, I have a meeting with just my head of departments. So that's about 10 of my 90. I get to meet them every day. I hear their problems. I help solve them. You know, we obviously have business goals. We, you know, kind of like a head of department meeting, super straightforward. But every Tuesday, and this is what I have found to be the key, is we have something called a town hall. It starts from 7:30 a.m. to 8. It is a meeting where I am basically very much like the politicians do. It's just, you know, talking about the state of the company, the state of where we're going. It is, you know, asking them questions, asking them for feedback, right? Making announcements about things that might not even be prevalent to their departments, but that way they just can still get an overall bigger picture, you know, of the company and where we're moving. Because a lot of times when you're working from your house and you're in marketing, you know, you have no clue about sales. You have no clue if the company is growing, right? And sales doesn't even know what marketing's doing because sales is so driven on growing. They're like, we don't even know what's going on in marketing. So really just spending a lot of time on those platforms is key to us. You know, FaceTime with our people. You can do that. It doesn't really even matter what you do during that FaceTime. Just give them time and be inquisitive.
Justin, really do appreciate your visit with us here today, and I'm sure you have inspired folks to consider a virtual assistant. After hearing from you today, really do appreciate your time spent with us. And if you would, before we conclude, any closing thoughts, a final word, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to make mention of as we wrap things up here today?
Not a whole lot. I mean, the main thing I always leave people on is obviously I'm biased to virtual assistants. If your business ever needs VAs, it's something we can help you with. But if there's one thing you took away from this call, there's probably one thing in your life you need to leverage out, right? You know, maybe your spouse is, you know, stressed because they're having to do laundry or having to clean the house or mow the lawn. Like, even if you just took away from this one call, I need to go and leverage that out to someone and pay for it to be done so I can have that time back, you know. It's a win for me, right? That's a huge win. Spend that extra time with your kids, your family, you know, giving back to the community, or just refocusing that energy on your business so you're not so stretched so thin.
Certainly do appreciate those concluding remarks and advice. And if listeners wanted to tap into Sphere Rocket VA, where's the best place to do so?
Yeah, best way online is just spherocketva.com, S-P-H-E-R-E, rocketva.com.
And listeners, as always, you can find this link and other links within the show notes of this broadcast for your convenience. Mr. Nelson, all the best and continued success, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And you're more than welcome. Our pleasure. Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Justin Nelson, the founder and CEO of Sphere Rocket VA, an industry-leading virtual workforce company. And again, for all the details, visit SphereRocketVA.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.